Welcome. Teresa Reno Weber is with us today. She's the Chief of Performance Improvement for the City of Louisville under Mayor Greg Fisher. The mayor recently was named one of the Public Officials of the Year by Governing Magazine, which called out his innovative performance improvement efforts. Teresa, thanks for being with us for the second time on this blog.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Louisstat is the city's performance management strategy that you've discussed in our previous interview last year, and listeners can check that out on the blog. You're now at the two-year mark with Louisstat. Start us off by giving us an update and any reflections you have.
We've actually spent a lot of time thinking about the last 2 years. What have we learned over the time that we've spent working with all the different departments in city government? We now actually have 19 departments in our Louisstat program, the performance management system that we've created in Louisville Metro Government. And we have one cross-functional or issue-based stat program, so for a total of 20 actually across the city.
And tell us about the one cross-functional Louisstat meeting.
The one is Vacant and Abandoned Properties, or VAP stat. And that's a unique one because it's open to the public. It happens quarterly at our local library, downtown office branch. And we invite the public in. We also videotape it on Metro TV. But it brings together all of the agencies in the city and also invites some of the nonprofit groups that work to eradicate blight and vacant and abandoned properties in our city to look at the data around how well we're doing against that effort. And you see that there's a whole system around helping to improve or revitalize areas where there are a lot of these vacant properties. So we bring together all of those groups to look at the data and talk about what are we doing as a city to address it, where are our shortcomings, where are the challenges that we have because we just may not have enough resources to really tackle the entire problem, and so how can we bring in other partners, whether they're the nonprofit agencies, for-profit agencies, corporations who have a stake in whether or not our city is as vibrant as possible.
I know that when issues come up in Louisstat that are too big to handle within the context of a Louisstat meeting, and if those issues are important enough, you form a separate cross-functional team of issue experts to spend a few months and diagnose and try and solve that problem. And I also know that you provide training to those teams in process improvement, such as Lean Six Sigma, so that there's a rigorous methodology to the improvement process. You've noted to me that these teams have played a really important role. Tell us more about that.
So I think when I think about the greatest successes and the most impact we've had as an office over the last 2 years, it's been through the efforts of the problem-solving work that the cross-functional teams have done. So to scale that impact, we've really set ourselves on developing more of the capabilities of employees over the next couple of years through training programs in Lean, in Six Sigma, in reactive problem solving, because that's giving them the tools to be able to look at the data and their information, address their challenges and problems, and come up with the right set of solutions to really improve performance. And if the solutions aren't appropriate or they're not hitting the mark or they're not actually improving their performance, the nice thing about tracking the data in the Louisstat system is they'll be able to see, well, wow, we've tried this set of initiatives because we thought that this was going to have an impact. It's not working. You know, let's change it up. Let's try something else. Let's see if this initiative has an impact. And then if we see an improvement in the data, then we know, okay, this is something we want to maintain.
I'd like to give our listeners an example of one of these cross-functional teams, what they did and what the results were. Tell us about the team that focused on an aspect of performance of EMS, Emergency Management Services.
The actual work of this cross-functional team was to reduce the turnout time for ambulances. And when we say turnout time, it's from the time the ambulance arrives at the emergency unload place at a hospital to dispatch a patient or to unload a patient, to the time that they are leaving the hospital and available to be dispatched to go to another patient. And in that time, they need to not only transfer the patient to the hospital staff, transfer all of the paperwork, clean the ambulance, prep the ambulance for the next patient. They have to get all those things done before they leave. We were seeing a lot of variation in Louisville around how much time that was taking for our different crews. Some crews, it would take consistently 45 minutes. Some crews, it would take consistently 30 minutes or 25 minutes. And there was no real good understanding about why there was so much variation there. And so one of the first things that they did through this project was to just go and observe and get the baseline data. How long is it taking all the different crews? And what are the different steps that they're doing while they're there? So one of the team members went and sat in at one of the hospitals that has the highest number of sort of ambulance visits. And just in the 3 days that this individual was there observing, the turnout times decreased by, on average, between 5 and 10 minutes.
Researchers call this a Hawthorne effect, where just by observing, you can change behavior. But it was a clue to this cross-functional team, at least, that the processes being used by the ambulance teams probably could be improved.
Exactly. And you always have to be careful, and we're trying to be careful with the team too, that you're not just pushing for efficiency at the cost of quality, right? So you still want them to do all the things that they need to do. You want them to transfer all the information, transfer the patient safely, transfer all the information to the hospital accurately, clean the ambulance and prep it properly for the next patient. But when you see that there are definitely a set of crews that can do this much quicker than others, you need to ask yourself, what's the difference? Is it motivation? Is it training? Is it the specific cases that they're dealing with versus others?
After the team did their observations and looked at the data, what were their recommended strategies for reducing the time of ambulance turnovers?
Some of the changes that they ended up making, which again were not anything with cost related to it, right? It was not added technology, was not added infrastructure, was not added people, was one, setting an expectation and communicating that we expect you to turn out of the hospital within 30 minutes or less. If you're not going to turn out of a hospital within 30 minutes or less, you need to call in to your supervisor and let them know why. Is it a particularly complex medical case, and so this is taking longer? Is there a backup at the hospital? Whatever it is, there's just an expectation that if it's 30 minutes or longer, you're going to call in and let us know why, so we can document that. And that did require working with the unions, right? So we have a strong union population or strong union membership within Louisville Metro government, and so making sure that they understood why we were making these changes. The other thing that they did was they started to post the times for each of the ambulance crews in terms of how quickly they were turning out. So that created this little competition between the crews.
Positive peer pressure.
Positive peer pressure. And also messaging around, you know, if you are taking longer to get out of the hospital and there are other crews that are continuing to cycle through at a much faster pace, those other crews are doing a lot larger workload than you're doing, right? And so there was this peer pressure to, why are you taking 45 minutes when we know it can be done in 25 or 30? Because now I'm picking up your slack. And so there was that sort of peer pressure, I think, that helped to spur people along to an increased performance.
And tell us about what results occurred because of those implemented recommendations.
So the results of this were, from September to November, the average turnout time for the crews, which had used to be closer to 40 minutes, was hovering just below 30 minutes. So a 10-minute reduction of turnout time across the board. And this was, although they had initially studied it at one of the hospitals that we service, they had applied this for all of their ambulance crews across all of the hospitals. And that was an average across all of the hospitals. And so when we looked at the impact, it was basically equivalent to putting two extra ambulances on the street, which could be close to $1.5 million if we actually had paid for two extra ambulances and their crews to be on the street. So it was a staggering sort of impact for this cross-functional team that had spent, you know, 4 months learning how to apply Six Sigma process improvement problem solving to a data-rich and complex challenge that we had as a city.
You obviously can't form a cross-functional team for every problem that comes up. Tell us about the decision-making process about creating these teams.
So here's the challenge. Limited set of resources everywhere. No shortage of challenges to address. No shortage of opportunities that we identify in Louisstat that would be ripe for a cross-functional team and that would benefit from a reactive problem-solving process. The challenge we have is the limited capacity of my team currently to help support and facilitate that type of work for all of these different challenges. So we also are trying to apply a little bit of our own medicine in terms of saying, what are the biggest opportunity areas that we should prioritize and work against and support for the organization because they're going to have the most impact to the services that citizens are receiving, that they're going to have the most impact on our financial standing, right? So we start to identify a set of criteria by which we're going to funnel out what are the cross-functional teams that we can support currently. And so that's a main focus of our office. But the other side of it is recognizing that we're probably never going to have enough resources. We don't want to grow a huge center of excellence in OPI. What we want to do is we want to provide the ability for the organization to not need OPI to come in and work with them on solving their problems, but maybe we help them identify them through the conversations in Louisstat. And then they've got a skilled set of individuals who've been trained through our office to address the problem themselves. We can give them the toolkit. We can say, here's the template that you walk through to solve your problem. And we've developed some of the people on your team and in your department or the subject matter experts that'll be staffed to this that you'll pull in. And you can then go and solve this problem on your own, because that's the only way we're going to be able to really address everything that's going on in city government.
We often think of leadership as the most important element in making any kind of performance improvement strategy effective. In this case, Mayor Fischer has been clearly committed to Louisstadt and to these teams and to the whole performance effort. But you've also noted another element that's been important for engaging agencies, and that's the pull side of things. The fact that these processes have just been plain useful for agencies. Tell us about that.
So it's great that the mayor is the champion that, and we're pushing it out with his sort of stamp of approval on it. But what's most validating for me is when departments say, wow, I saw what you were able to do with EMS. I would love for you to come and help us have the same type of success in our area.
Finally, Teresa, tell us about any next steps on the horizon for your team and for the Louisville performance effort.
So I've had basically a consistent 3 to 4 staff working for me in the Office of Performance Improvement. In the next 3 months, we'll double the size of that office because of, I think, the impact that we've shown over the last 2 years. And where we're doubling down is I've now hired a deputy director of continuous improvement capability building. So a woman who's coming from the private sector with an experience in Six Sigma Black Belt, and she is going to help us scale the training of these methodologies to more employees within city government and put in place a much more robust governance model for how do we identify the right cross-functional teams for OPI to support, but then also how do we scale the training to more individuals across metro government and put those individuals who've been trained against maybe smaller opportunity projects within their own department or within, you know, departments that they work closely with. So I think this next year is going to be really exciting in terms of the impact that that capability building is going to demonstrate on city government.
Teresa, thank you so much
for
being
here. You're welcome.
Thanks for having me.